Houston, Texas, and the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we have Joel Skousen joining us to talk geopolitics at the bottom of the hour. He is a former Marine Corps officer, naval aviator, best-selling author, patriot, you know, head of one of the only major conservative groups that ever tried to take the country back. He's a big fish. But Cleon Skousen, his uncle, was a high-level FBI section chief and the guy that was advising Joe McCarthy and everything, and he was dead on target. But it just was bigger than he even thought. He's going to join us today, and I meant to cover this Friday, and I didn't even click that I was getting Joel on today. The 45 goals of communism that got read out in Congress in 1963, maybe we should spend some time on that, at least mentioning it, and then get Joel back up for a full show. Because, again, communism is just the ideology of globalist control. Who is behind it? Why do the Jeff Bezoses and why do the Barack Obamas of the world and the Virgin Atlantic owner, why do they support it? Well, it's a video we've got coming up that I played twice on Friday, not for lack of content. I'm going to play it again today. A woman in a sailor outfit at South by Southwest a month ago was some lady interning as a reporter for us, and the media is holding this up like she is God. And they say that we were destroyed by this video, that we removed it because it destroyed us. No, it was uploaded on multiple channels. And I said, stop duplicating and stop flooding the channels. I said, I looked at like 30, 40 videos and I said, knock those out. And they went, really? They're already going viral, sir. And I went, I told you, just put them on sub-channels, please. That's the exact conversation. But then they went, oh, Jones is scared of this. No, I'm going to probably air this a few thousand times. I'm definitely not scared of it in the way you think. I'm scared of it in that it all crystallized when I watched this video. So that's coming up. And then Roger Stone, I called Roger on Friday. And I said, Roger, they're saying they've got a mole inside the Trump administration for Russiagate. And he said, hold on. And I went, no, not. Just so you know, I'm not an idiot. You're going to say, hold on, that's like saying they sued 13 Russians, and then when Mueller shows up at the court case, the Russians show up and he drops the case or tries to delay it. I get it's like saying, I'm suing Casper the Friendly Ghost. And he goes, well, no, exactly. It's just like they're saying they're suing all these Russians or suing us or suing me or suing him. And then when you actually show up, they crap their pants because there's nothing there. It's hot air. And he said, no, that's exactly what it is. But he goes, Alex, I told you a year ago who the mole is. And he told me, and I went and I looked it up. And again, by the mole, this is the guy involved with past Republican administrations that contacted a bunch of junior campaign staffers and would say, hey, come to London. I'm going to have you write a paper for $3,000. Pay you first class. Bring your wife. Nice hotel. And then that individual would then try to say that they said there were Russian contacts. So we're going to expose the fake mole of Mueller coming up in the last couple segments of the second hour. So you got that coming up exclusively. Just like I told you, North Korea wants electricity nationwide. I told you back on March 8th, and they would already agree to give up their nukes. They had a certain number, and the deal was made because they're being cut out from China to actually have economic development, and they're being checkmated. They can see what South Korea's done, and China's flipping out. Cutting away North Korea from China is a stroke of genius if Pompeo and Trump can do it. And again, I can't believe how blessed I am, seriously, that I was given this intel before anyone else. But they said, we're doing it, Alex, as we know you're under attack. Wow.
We now
take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Well, let me tell you right now, I'm very, very excited to be involved in the InfoWar. I'm very, very excited to be involved in the fight. But I've got a major apology to make right up here at the front of the broadcast, because when I'm wrong, I have to make an apology right up front, because integrity is the only thing I've got. I only make maybe one or two apologies a year. I make retractions or corrections all the time. We cover thousands of news stories a week, so maybe once a week there's a retraction. I'd been saying for a couple months, why is the New York Observer attacking Donald Trump, saying he's a Russian agent with no evidence, and then he owns the trust, but he still owns the New York Observer? And then one of my crew walked in and dropped right in my face an article out of New York from a year ago that Jared Kushner no longer owns the New York Observer. Boy, did I feel like an idiot. I'm like, man, I read hundreds of articles a day. I scan hundreds more. I didn't know. I'm like, man, what is Kushner doing? Because it's like the New York Observer is like the worst deceptive rag. He sold it for $15 million? How about they like negative $15 million? What a piece of crap. So, the Hollywood Reporter reported on all that a year ago. Okay. They reported on again a few months ago. When I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you I'm wrong, because all I've got is my credibility. If I'm saying something, I really believe it. Now, I started talking about an apology I was going to make, and I remember what it was, but then I don't remember the gist of what it was going to be, so I'll have to do it later in the hour. I'm not doing that as a cliffhanger. I had all these topics, and so many times I go live on air, and then I have a particular thing I'm going to say, but then I go, no, I'm going to do this, and then I start talking about the next apology I've got to make, which are rare, and then I remember what it was about, but I can't do it properly now because it's not heartfelt. And I had this essence of what I was going to apologize about. So I'm sure during a break or something, hopefully I'll remember what it was. Because I remember the apology, but I don't remember why it clicked I was wrong. That is so frustrating. That is beyond frustrating. That is maddening. But that was one I kind of halfway backed off of last week. And then this one, I remember what the retraction was, but why I decided to make it and the particulars of it, I'm going to have to sit here and sit back and think for a while. Those will give you a big headache, won't they? You know, I think I'm going to try to do this way right now. Let's talk about who I'm not apologetic to. I'm not apologetic to Maxine Waters. You know, Thursday morning, Friday morning, whatever it was, I got up at 6 a.m., went in, drank some coffee, had an espresso on top of it, fed the cats, fed the dog. And then I went in and woke the kids up to cook them breakfast. And I pulled back, and I was just thinking about how the whole world works and how all this stuff goes down. And I had an iPad, my wife's iPad, little fancy white case, props up nice while I'm cooking eggs and bacon, and packing their lunches. I don't do it every day, but I like to pack their lunches and cook breakfast at least a couple times a week. It's just fun. That's the kind of work I like. I like washing dishes, mowing the lawn, you know, stuff like, it's very relaxing. So I'm in there making little sandwiches and all this. I'm telling my kids, go eat their food before it gets cold. And I'm sitting back, and I see an InfoWars.com article at about 7 o'clock go bloop. And it's like, Maxine Waters says, I resent, this is in quotes, I resent make America great again. And I looked at that headline, and it was like Gateway Pundit or something, and I clicked on it, and I thought, surely she didn't say that. Not like I'm looking to get her. I'm like, oh, I finally got Maxine Waters. Oh, no, I was like, okay, she didn't really say that. So I watched the four-minute clip, and I played it on the show that day. But later in the show, I said, wait a minute, maybe, because we played like a minute or so what the congressman from Pennsylvania said, the Republican. I thought, maybe he said something bad. So during four different breaks, because I didn't just believe the crew, they're great people, I went and I watched the whole remarks on C-SPAN, messing the whole show up. I get obsessed on stuff. There's all this stuff happening. Sir, this person's calling. This general's calling. We have a break. I'm watching this to see. And the guy's like, we have to come together. And it's about economics. And we all love each other. If you're all working on the floor of a factory, it doesn't matter what color you are, you're male or female. It's about, you know, building that car. And you're on a team. And we have to transcend that. And because I had this feeling, I said, there's no way she flipped out so bad. He must have said something horrible. And I played like a minute of what he said, but I thought, let me be able to really go back. Because I said, I know she's crazy. She's out of control. She's corrupt. All these 50-something million to her husband and her bank. And, you know, she's the most corrupt member of Congress and gets away with it because she's a woman and because she's, quote, has black skin or whatever. And so I watched from the beginning of the guy getting up. Took me four breaks. That's four breaks of a syndicated talk show host watching, going, I hope he said something bad, because I wanted to believe he did something wrong. And what he did was be loving and say we should work together. So I later played the whole clip in the third hour of the show. I said, it's not that she's black. We need to build black people up or anybody else. It's that she is spewing all this crap knowingly about you don't, how she's standing up to the white man when she works for the big multinationals that are screwing everybody over. And I couldn't believe that there wasn't something. The guy didn't do anything. I played the clip on Friday. I played the whole exchange. And she said, I resent Make America Great Again. And that was the thing, man. People confront me and they go, we're ashamed of you, you know, blah, blah, blah. You used to be this good guy or whatever. It means nothing to me. I'm actually out for everybody. And I know this country's got its problems, but the idea is beautiful. And compared to other nations, it's powerful. And I'm not going to bow down in some virtue signal to her and go along with this. So let's play what she said at the end. You can go to C-SPAN. You can watch the whole thing from Thursday that we aired on Friday. But this is someone saying she resents Make America Great Again. Here it is.
However, I don't appreciate that you did not interrupt him when he was making those outrageous remarks about him knowing more about discrimination than I know about discrimination. I resent that, and I resent the remark about making America great again. He's down here making a speech for this dishonorable president of the United States of America. Having said that, I reserve the balance of my time, and no, I do not yield not one second to you. Not one second. Not one second to you.
So the act is she stands up to the evil white man. You know, if I even talk about China, it's not like I'm saying Chinese people are bad. Communists are bad. They've killed 80 million, according to the Communist Party in China. 80 million of their own people. That's Chinese people. And they're killing millions every year or so. And they got Buddhists and everybody else in forced labor camps. And it's just her up there like America is the bad guy. Like we're doing all this stuff. And it's this big distraction. And we're all in this bowl just in America and not talking about anything else that's going on in the world. It's crazy. That's what she's paid to do. I'm Alex Jones, your host. This is the Sunday live transmission. It's 4:20 Central Standard Time in 35 seconds. We've got Joel Skousen, who is an amazing researcher, one of the smartest guys out there, joining us. And by the way, I haven't talked to Joel in months since he was last on. We don't have pre-interviews beforehand like CNN or Fox News does. Hey, what are you going to talk about? What's your view? This is what we're looking for. I have people that I respect, that I know are research, that I know are patriots, and I hear their views. And that's why they hate us. If you ask why mainstream media lies about us, why George Soros is suing us, why Hillary Clinton is, why she calls me the dark heart, because I don't have a dark heart, folks. I really care about people, and they know that, and they're scared. Now, that said, ahead of him joining us, there's an incredible article that the Daily Mail has. It's also in Red State. It's also from Press TV, but it's in Iranians. So we can roll some of it in the background maybe while I talk about it. But this is coming up with Roger Stone. And you talk about the craziness. And the average person would read this and think, well, wait a minute. If the Ayatollahs, the dictators, the religious Islamic Shiite dictatorship, it's the first Islamic state in modern times, but it's not Wahhabist out of Iran. They're trying to copy that. It's Shiite, which means, again, they track it back to Muhammad and the whole lineage and the rest of it. They are saying, because they have elections, but they decide who can run. So it's like communism with the current dictator of China. The Politburo, the Central Committee, decides he can run, and then he has rules saying they can do it. They have come out, and I said this a few weeks ago. I said, listen, because I could see what Trump was saying. I didn't get this from any sources. Well, I did get some of it from sources after, but to be technical, Trump's like, it's a horrible deal. It's terrible. And then I saw surrogates of the president start pointing out that reportedly payoffs were made. Well, we already knew that back at the time. That's what the Iranians do. So Obama and the Arab Spring and the Muslim Brotherhood and all of it in Iran, they're just taking money from anybody. That's what globalism is sell your country out to anybody. And so here's the headline. Iran's foreign minister threatened to expose Western diplomats who took bribes to create the Iran nuclear deal. Wow. So see, we know they're developing nuclear weapons. We know they've already got nuclear weapons. I'll just say it. He's retired now, but this is the age of just putting it all out there. I had a family member who was in special operations, 35 years in the Army. And I remember sitting around the deer camp 12 years ago, eating venison we'd shot the day before, cooking the big cook deal. And he said, Alex, he said, the reason we're not hitting Iran is they're Persians, they got real terror networks, and they got 5 atomic weapons. They don't have a delivery system, but if they try to deliver ICBMs, we're going to hit them. And by the way, people I know and family, they never tell me anything. I mean, that cousin might have told me 6-7 things in all the years I've known him. I guess he's probably like 10 years old when I was born. And he told me that. And he said, that's the danger. He said, but if they try to develop ICBMs, we're going to hit them. And he wouldn't get into it, but he'd been part of the planning of how they're going to hit Tehran. And all. He was just saying, no, I've been part of the planning of what's going to some of the scenarios. And he was like, we're looking at their sleeper cells in the U.S. And I said, like what? And another cousin dumping chemicals down high-rises, air conditioning vents. Another cousin looked at me and he said, and there are people working at all the airports putting bombs on airplanes, about 100 airplanes down in one day. And I just remember talking to all these people in my family and realizing these were all the defenders of the Republic, and they'd already been briefed on what the issue was Iran. With Iran, it's not like Iraq, where it's some, backwards, fallen, destroyed system and, all this. This is real, folks. And that's the issue. And Trump moves against them knowing that people are then going to say, well, why then would they threaten Obama to get at Trump. Why would they threaten in a statewide TV show that we just showed, if you're a radio listener, you didn't see it in the background. We just showed some of it. We'll play some of it in a minute. Why would they threaten Obama? You think Obama, you know, you think Trump wants to get Obama. No, no, no. They're telling Obama and the deep state, you take out Trump. That's the headline. Iran is saying, we're blackmailing Obama with how we paid him off. If you and your deep state don't take out Trump, we're going to expose it. That's the takeaway. And that's how Iran thinks. And so they're saying, we paid you off. We bought you off. We made a deal. We will expose those deals if you don't roll over to us. How sick is that? And I was told 12 years ago, and I've said it since, I've been told by good sources Iran has 5 weapons. And I went further with other sources. I said, I was told this. I said, yeah, we've got spectrometers and aircraft that can fly over and scan this stuff, even underneath mountains, because it leaks out vents. And we know what they've got. And we even know the isotope. And we know Pakistan helped them. And we know Russia helped them. And it was Obama with Russia. And Trump knows that. There's your Russia collusion. Here, let's play a little bit of the current puppet dictator of Iran installed by the mullahs. This is a breakdown of that. Here's a minute or so of that. It's up on Infowars.com. Here it is.
And for all, we will neither outsource our security, nor will we renegotiate or add on to a deal we have already implemented in good faith. To put it in real estate terms, when you buy a house and move your family in, or demolish it to build a skyscraper, you cannot come back 2 years later and try to renegotiate the price. In the coming days, the United States will have to decide whether to finally abide by its obligations. Iran stands firm in the face of futile attempts at bullying. But if the U.S. continues to violate the agreement, or if it withdraws altogether, we will exercise our right to respond in a manner of our choosing.
Let's just stop right there. And then he goes into all the threats. No, go ahead and dump chlorine gas in the buildings, dude. We're going to nuke your whole damn country. But I'm just saying, that's the point this has gotten to. And this is the point with Obama and the globalists that want an ongoing strategy of tension like North Korea. Trump saying it's over, it's done. And the globalists hate it because they want to keep the crisis going. Trump's like, no, it's not going to continue. Now, I don't know what Joel Scalzi is going to say. I don't know if he's going to agree with me, disagree. But we're going to cover it all. One of the top experts, in my view, one of the smartest guys out there on geopolitics, North Korea, Iran, former Marine Corps aviator, best-selling author, editor of the World's Affairs Brief. Straight ahead, I'm Alex Jones with NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com. Then we'll this 45 minutes, and Roger Stone joins us with the identity of the mole, the fake mole from the FBI inside the Trump camp.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
You know, I'm not a guy that gets dramatic for no reason. Everybody knows that. They know if I say something, it ends up coming out in the news a month later. One of our sources in CENTCOM, who's hooked up with Space Command and SpaceX and Elon Musk, and he's getting ready to go public very, very soon. The fake QAnon's already leaked a photo of him 10 years ago in Army Special Operations. Because I've talked to the general involved, and he told me this is the person you talk to. We're talking general, not just your regular general. He got attacked by 3 guys last night, but there was some type of federal police watching it, and they were ready for it, and they stopped it. So I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but I want you to understand, folks, this is a real war. This is not a game. There's a reason I don't even go out to dinner. I hardly go anywhere anymore. I just go right home. And I'm not trying to be dramatic here, but you see Hillary calling me Darkheart. You see Georgetown and the Vatican suing me. You see all this stuff going on. I've got top D.C. lawyers that represented the Bushes, and they told me, it's not off record, they told me 2 weeks ago, they said, okay, we thought you were being a little paranoid, saying this is a big conspiracy against you. They said, this is to end the First Amendment. You've been chosen. and this is happening. And they said, and our firm supports you. Other firms got scared and got threatened and backed out. This is the maximum attack right now, okay? And I'm not up here going, I'm Mr. Billy Bad Butt, okay? I know how bad the globalists are, so I'm committed to do this because I realize that there's no future if we don't. This is not done out of being a tough guy. It's not done out of I've got all the answers. It's done out of I'm not a Satanist. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm not a Satanist. Now, somebody who's also not a Satanist is Joel Skousen, one of the top developers of Secure Homes, best-selling author. We sell his film and his book on how to prepare yourself, how to get ready, and the, you know, the facts behind it. But that's a separate issue. He's the editor of worldaffairsbrief.com. You can all get a copy of his free newsletter he's sending out with inside intel at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And we've not talked in a month or two or since he was last on, whenever it was, a month, 2 months, 3 months, I don't remember. So this is not some scripted interview. We don't do that, as I said earlier. But he's a former Marine Corps aviator, a patriot. His uncle at the FBI helped expose the whole globalist plan for McCarthy and everybody up front. That's all been proven to be right. We republished this. It's been out for years. The 1963 congressman that in the congressional record, the secret 45 goals of communism leaked to Congress. That's on Infowars.com. You read that. That's what's happening now. So he's with us for four segments. This segment, another, yeah, four segments. And then we've got Roger Stone is going to expose the mole. Does it mean there's other moles? There may be, but this is the mole. We've known this for a year. He didn't want to release it until now. The folks at Daily Caller figured it out, and so we're going to go ahead and release who the FBI, we say FBI, we mean globalist mole, in the Trump campaign was. And, of course, it's now Stormy Daniels, it's now Novartis and AT&T deals. There's nothing Russian. It's all complete hokum. But, again, Joel Skousen joins us to get – I want to have him back later this week with me for a full hour if he'll do it, just on the goals. But I wanted to tell you about that on Infowars.com because we've not talked in months. Out of the gates here, sir, whatever you want to hit first with North Korea, with the Iran deal. I know you were on hold while I was talking about the North Korean situation, and also the Iranian selected president saying we'll release who we paid off in the Obama administration. People say, well, good. What's the threat there? Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I respect you. I mean that. I want listeners to know I respect you. There's not a lot of folks that I actually think may know more than I do. You're one of them. That sounds like a threat. You better get rid of Trump. You better do something or we're going to blow your whole operation wide open. Is that accurate or what does Joel Skousen have to say?
I'm not familiar with that quote, Alex. Can you read me that again, please?
Yeah, it's a Red State article. It's in a couple others. Iranian's foreign minister basically threatens to expose Western diplomats who took bribes to create the Iran deal. He just said, hey, we made deals. We'll expose those deals if you don't go along with us. And to me, there's no leverage over Trump. The leverage is having telling them the jig's up. You better move against Trump. I mean, maybe you see some other angle there. What do you see there?
Yeah, I think that's got to be disinformation. And the reason I say that is because the U.S. approached Iran on that deal. Iran didn't bribe its way in or try to get the U.S. to make a deal. Iran was shocked when the U.S. came and said, hey, let's make a deal and we're going to make it easy for you. So this was a one-way street.
Okay, I remember you saying that. So what's behind it?
Well, the thing that's behind it is that and I outline this in the brief that you mentioned that people can get a free copy of if they email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. I go through an entire timeline of how the U.S. Was demanded by Israel to take down Syria before they attack Iran. Iran has always been the target. The globalists don't want a Muslim country that's going to be self-sufficient in weapons.
No, but I agree with you. So let's you're going to have plenty of time here, but let's back this up then. Right. Why did they help then with the hostage stuff and the Iran-Contra and then you got Operation Praying Mantis, which wasn't for them? I mean, this kind of goes back and forth, doesn't it?
Well, no, that goes way too far back. That's not related to this Iran nuclear deal, the Iran hostage cases and all. There's been a lot of different administrations within Iran that made deals.
Sure, so quantify for me then, and I'm going to let you have the floor here, but what is the point of what's currently going on then with Iran? What do you think Trump really wants?
Here's the point. Trump, he doesn't want anything. He just knows what he's told to say. He has no knowledge about the Iran deal. He doesn't know what's in the substance of it. He's been told that it's a bad deal and he has to get out of it, and he's done that. But here's the backstory here, and this is very, very important.
By the way, I'm going to give you the floor in the next segment. People are getting mad at me interrupting, but I agree with you. Trump's knowledgeable in free market and America and all this other stuff, but when it comes geopolitical, he does not have the knowledge, so he's being led around. I agree with you. So let's elaborate on that.
So what happened is that Israel said to the globalists, we're not going to attack Iran until you take care of Syria. They got 1,000 Scud missiles. They got chemical weapons that can obliterate us if Iran and its allies retaliate after we strike. This was clear back in 2011 or 12. And so in 2013, the U.S. decided they were going to attack Iran. They, first of all, engineered all of the disruption in Egypt and Libya through their overthrowing of Gaddafi and the government of Egypt to create a lot of these Muslim people that they could bring in, the radicals, to bring into Syria to be the rebels.
Wow, you're saying the Arab Spring isn't about flooding Europe with Islamists. It's mainly about toppling Iran.
It was both. There's two agendas there. But the major agenda, has been to create enough radical Islam that they could take down Syria and create havoc. But there's also that agenda of flooding Israel with, and that was part of the all of the conflict creation in the Middle East, to flood the Middle East and destroy Western culture there. But the main point that we have to understand is that they were going to use the red line of chemical weapons on Assad in order to justify this attack. And so they engineered a chemical weapons attack in Ghouta, the suburb of Damascus. But it was done by the rebels, and it was blamed on Assad. And we've talked about that on your show before. Assad never would be stupid enough to use chemical weapons.
I should add, you said 3-4 weeks ago it was staged. It's now admitted in German news, British news, even Trump's pulled back white helmet support that last chemical attack didn't even happen. The other three were staged by the rebels, but now this one didn't even happen.
Exactly. It wouldn't happen. They just hosed down some people and then cried out chemical attack and brought out the cameras. This was a white helmet piece of work.
Production.
It was a production. But the point is, clear back in 2013, on the Ghouta attack, they blamed it on Assad. The U.S. said, you'd cross the red line. We're going to attack. John Kerry gets before a London press conference, and a reporter says, hey, Mr. Kerry, it looks obvious you're going to attack Syria. Is there anything Syria can do to stop this? And Kerry, who was rambling all through this interview,
turn the chemicals over.
Yeah, he says, give up the chemical weapons. They won't do it, but give up the chemical weapons and we wouldn't attack. And Russia and Syria said, we accept. So he was stuck. The globalists were stuck. And while they tried to discredit the handing over the chemicals, the international community certified that they had given up all their chemical weapons. And so that's why the U.S. had to have an excuse now. It's going to take years now to take down Syria. We're going to have to bring in all these rebels from other countries to overthrow Syria.
All right, stay there. I've got where you're going. You're on target. Joel Skousen's our guest, worldaffairsbrief.com, Alex Jones, newswars.com. We're going to look at this live when we come back. It's complex. The truth is complex. We're going to break it all down with the top experts straight ahead. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So a lot of people become experts on baseball. They become experts on football. Or they become experts on the business they're involved in, selling insurance or being a dentist, working on people's teeth, or maybe being a farmer or a computer programmer. I've tried to become an expert on geopolitical systems, cultural systems, and how things work. And I've found that you've got a bunch of occultists that want to control humanity and basically act like gods who want to dumb people down. Well, I want the opposite. I want to empower people. I want to see people living out their own destiny, having free will. But to do that, we've got to be supported. The reason the globalists hate InfoWars is not because I'm that good, even though my heart's in the right place. It's because we have guests on, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of them a month, that are smart, like Joel Skousen, we're about to go back to. And they don't want real talks. They don't want real discussions. Remember last year, last December, we got the Google documents. They were spending millions of dollars to delist InfoWars and Ron Paul, Alex Jones and Ron Paul. It said, look at the fake news. They claim the UN and others say no chemical attack happened and it was staged by the rebels. We want them banned. Google said, that's a real document. We're sorry, we're not going to do it now. They went ahead with the delisting. So that's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of how they're at war with memory. So if you want to support us, just like informationally we're game-changing, supplements, T-shirts, books, films, water filters, air filters, storable foods, whatever we promote and sell, I go and check out and make sure it's really high quality. InfoWarsStore.com, we have the fluoride-free and 4 to 5 with colloidal silver and iodine, adult and children's toothpaste made by the top organic manufacturer in the country. Discounted. We have the immune gargle in 3 sizes. We have the we have the mouthwash, and we also have Bodies 95% curcuminin level. Curcuminin is the chemical that is in turmeric, the anti-inflammatory, and so much more. It's 50% off. Check those out, InfoWarsStore.com. And when you purchase the products, you stand against the globalist and their censorship. When you use your free will to get products you need and fund us, they're apoplectic. They don't know what to do because of our personal relationship and what we're doing. Or when you sign up at our free newsletter, Infowars.com/newsletter, where we can directly email you. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter can't stop that. Or worldaffairsbrief.com, editor at worldaffairsbrief.com. Go sign up there, get his free newsletter. It's incredible intel. So I said I'd give you the floor. I was interrupting a lot because I wanted to go right to where I was thinking to your specific answer. This segment, the next, you got the floor. We'll do one more segment for a free-for-all on North Korea and the and Trump in general. But again, Joel Skousen, great patriot, editor of worldaffairsbrief.com. Now you've got the floor. I want to interrupt for the next 7 minutes. Iran, all of this, how's it tied together? What's currently happening?
Remember that Iran was in the, or U.S. was in the attack mode against Iran ever since 2006 or so. 3 aircraft carrier groups off of Iran threatening to attack, waiting for Israel to trigger it. That got put on hold with the Syria, them saying we got Syria taken out first. Once that got them put on hold with the chemical weapons abandonment treaty, the U.S. knew it was going to take about 3 years to get rid of Syria, to get back on track against Iran. And so they had to have a public excuse to stand down from the attack mode against Iran. That's why they went to Iran and said, let's make a deal and we'll make it easy for you. Iran was shocked how easy the U.S. was saying it. But there was a trap involved. There were 3 legs of the negotiation, 3 different negotiation sessions. On the very first one, they said, you have to give up just 20% of your centrifuges and a little bit of enrichment and give up some of this. And Iran said, hey, that's a good deal, and we'll get rid of the sanctions. Fine, we agree. Then the U.S. went on the press tour right after that and said, Iran has agreed to give 50% of their centrifuges up and 80% of their enriched uranium. And Iran said, no, we didn't. And we've got the transcripts to prove it. But because they wanted those sanctions off so bad, they were hurting the country so bad, including humanitarian supplies, Iran went along with it. Well, the U.S. did this 2 other times to them. The second round, they went and falsified what they had agreed to. And Iran went along with it. And they said, hey, we got a good thing going there. We can push Iran further than what we think. So in the third round, they added the trap. That is, they added a ban on conventional missile development into the Iran nuclear agreement. What has that got to do with the nuclear weapons? Well, they said, we'll tie this because these are nuclear-capable missiles, therefore we want you to ban them. And Iran never did sign off on that, and the U.S. and Iran never did sign the agreement. The U.S. took it to the U.N. with their version, including the missile ban, and got the U.N. Security Council to pass that agreement. Now, Iran went along with it, even though they haven't signed it, because they got their $185 million back. And the U.S. keeps telling the American public that they gave $185 billion to Iran as a reward for signing the deal. That is false. That was Iran's money that the U.S. had confiscated.
Sure, frozen in accounts.
That's right. Now, the trap was about nuclear missiles, and you'll notice in the past...
Trump obsesses over the ICBMs.
All right, that's what he's been told. This is what's dangerous about Iran. And the U.S. has tried to make the case 2 times in the U.N. that Iran's nuclear or their Iran's ballistic missile testing is like North Korea. These are nuclear capable, and therefore they're a violation of the agreement, tried to get the U.N. to go against Iran. The U.N. refused. They said no. Iran is right. These are not nuclear capable. They don't have any connections to nuclear weapons, so they do not qualify. Now, so what this meant is the U.S. decided this, the trap failed. They were going to use this agreement, the nuclear agreement, not to give anything to Iran. They were going to make it easy for Iran to comply so that they could go back to Iran when they were ready to.
By the way, just briefly, the reason I agree with you is we've sided with the Wahhabists in Saudi Arabia and this Muslim civil war, even though on the surface Obama was acting like he's for Iran. He's been opening the Middle East up for the Arab Spring. He's been backing Saudi Arabia for their takeover of Egypt, Libya, Syria, you name it. So that fits into what you're saying is they were double-crossing.
That's right. So once the trap had failed, that's when they put the pressure on Trump to say, this agreement is bad. You need to pull out of the agreement. What's the purpose of pulling out? They want to induce Iran to start enrichment again, start their nuclear weapons program again.
So which Iran's saying they're going to doing. So you're saying Iran's leading out of the trap.
No, look, Iran's saying they're going to do it, but they're not admitting that there's a weapons program. They're not going to give the U.S. the smoking gun. Look, Iran has said, we're going to retaliate against Israel for attacking our bases in Syria. They've said that twice now, and they've never done it. And I have written in my World Affairs brief, I said, look, watch out, Iran. This is a trap. They just want you to retaliate.
Well, by the way, I want to be clear here, just so I can understand. You're absolutely right. The media is like 4 days ago, Iran's going to strike Israel, then Israel hits Iranian bases south of Damascus. So, and I'm not anti-Israel either, but what's going on in Israel? Why is this happening?
You got to remember, Israel is a globalist puppet. I mean, Netanyahu's a Kissinger protege. Kissinger paid for his education in the U.S. He's only masquerading as a pro-settler, right-wing prime minister. And he's got a lot of corruption problems, and he's been able to forego those with this threat of Iran here. But you see, Israel is claiming self-defense. We have to defend ourselves. But it's Israel that has been attacking Syria. They've had over 150 attacks against Syria and no retaliation until last week when Israel, one of the Iranian bases, launched some short-range
missiles. And by the way, my sources in the Pentagon say they think that was a false flag. They think those 22 rockets were not Iran.
Well, they may well be because Iran said they didn't do it. But the point is, Israel retaliated with striking 70 targets in Syria. Over what? One little military outpost in the Golan Heights got hit with no deaths.
All right, we're about to go to break. But we're going to come back. You'll have the floor to break this down, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief Editor. What's the bigger picture then? I mean, how does this feed into the larger picture?
Well, the bigger picture is that they've got to get to Iran. There is that big creating conflict to have flood Europe with refugees. But they also want to build the image of the U.S. as the bully of the world. And that's what they've been doing by intervening around the world in the Middle East, in Iraq, and now in Iran. And they're going to obliterate Iran's infrastructure someday, pretty soon. I'm expecting an attack on Iran to materialize probably within the month. But this will not be the trigger to World War III. That's still reserved for North Korea, which we can talk about.
All right. Joel Skousen is one of the smartest guys out there, folks. So we're going to talk to him for a few segments next hour. This is really serious. I think Trump means well. He's doing a great job on many fronts. The globalists hate him, but I get it. He's like he's a real estate magnate. He's in there listening to the people around him, and he just does not have the research. I don't say that like an elitist. That's just a fact, and they're playing on that. Please tell your friends and family, tune in. Next hour starts now.
Himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
All right, we'll get into North Korea and the bigger geopolitical connections here, but during the last little two-minute break, I was talking to Joel Skousen, who is a really smart guy, former Marine Corps aviator, officer, smart, best-selling author. His uncle exposed the whole globalist program. Hopefully, I want to get him up. The producer will set this up for a full hour to talk about 45 communist goals, 1963, all this came true, that his uncle got on the congressional record. Cleon Skousen, And listen, it's not that I'm a tough guy, Joel. It's that I realize the evil of the globalists. So that's why I have to fight them. But we were talking during the break about how they're coming after InfoWars, how they're trying to destroy us. We'll cover the other subject, but the 4 minutes we have left, you were making some points. Why do you think, for the listeners to understand, they're so after this broadcast?
You know, the biggest weapon that they use, Alex, in suppressing truth is omission. To make sure that you never hear the truth, they'll talk around it. It's just like Fox News. Fox News talks about conservative issues, but they will never touch conspiracy. Conspiracy is the golden standard of truth now. It is the ultimate thing that people have to know about what really is going to save us. It doesn't matter what you do in terms of Sessions or Trump or anything else, unless you understand how the deep state really works, how deep the conspiracy runs with Congress, with the courts, with law, with the legal profession, with the medical profession, with all of these things that are tied in together. It has to be credible information. And that's what they fear most out of InfoWars. You are the largest voice of conspiratorial truths. And that doesn't mean that you get everything perfectly right. All of us are flawed. And remember, this is a secret conspiracy. We're trying to ferret out the information from the edges without plants and disinformation from insiders. We always have to combat that, and I know you do too. But, you know, it's amazing how they come out against anyone who speaks about conspiracy. Sean Hannity, for example, is very, very good on Fox News about conservative issues and defending Trump, etc. But if you ever utter the word conspiracy or a hint that you're going in that direction, he'll come out like a lion against you.
Because he's been told, and he's a good guy. I don't want to get into inside baseball. You're absolutely right. So here I am like a man taking drink before, you know, the gallows. What, you're a smart guy. I mean this, what should I do to get myself ready for whatever's coming? All the attacks, it's getting really intense. And that only makes me want to fight harder, but I don't know what to do against this level of evil.
Well, you have to do what all of us do in this movement. You have to watch out for entrapment. They are watching us day and night. They're following. They're watching every conversation we make.
No, I agree, but I don't. I mean, I'm pretty boring. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing there.
Well, you've got to be careful that there's nothing there. I mean, you have to really watch it. And I know that you're trying to be careful. I try to be very careful, but they really do need some big scandal to take you down and ban you from the internet. Now, I think you're doing the right thing by going towards quality product sales in order to bypass this censorship for your financial interest on YouTube and Google and everything else. And that's the price of being big and strong, is there. You're going to be the number one target. You are the number one target. But
well, no, I agree. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm just wondering. I just feel like I should be doing more, because like being the target, it's like, what am I supposed to do? So I don't feel like I'm this big threat. I don't feel big. What am I supposed to do?
The only thing I would say is to be very, very careful about people who are talking to you who are claiming to be insiders.
I agree.
I think QAnon, for example, is a disinformation expert. I think he's telling people what they want. He's anybody who purveys this message, anyone claiming to be in the White House or the insider, that there's going to be a coup against the deep state, that they're going to take down the deep state, that they've got military.
Hold on, this is powerful. I want to hear what you have to say about QAnon, because here's the deal. I had White House sources and all hell broke loose at levels I can't even say personally. It was hard. You're right. No one has these sources or they get attacked. We'll talk about it straight ahead.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
So, there was a time about a year and a half ago when the president was first in office that I knew for a fact every night he would ask people for specific downloads of the show to see what I said. And if I said, here's a message to the president, he would watch it. And I talked to him about those things. But then they made it a big deal not to talk to me. And it's not like I'm trying to reach out and talk to the president. Like, that's some big deal. I talk to God every day. Any of us that love Christ know that. So the president's way down the list of that. But they went kind of crazy. And the last few times I talked to the president last year, towards the end of the year, it was very quick. Just keep it up. I appreciate what you're doing. And don't stop what you're doing. I appreciate you. And I told the president, just like I told him when he called and I got remarried, he called and thanked my wife and everything. I said, sir, you don't have to do this. I'll just be patted on the head if you got info. And he's like, well, Alex, you know, don't worry about John McCain. We're going to move forward. We're going to make the country great again. He knows he's being recorded. So it's not about me who rejects Hollywood and all this stuff trying to be next to power. It's that Trump is trying to be good, I believe. But Joel Skousen is a really smart guy, World Affairs Brief, the editor-in-chief of that. And we were talking about the attacks that we've come under at InfoWars and the lies they've said and the things they've done. I mean, if I could tell the listeners, which I can't do because families ask me not to, and I'm not whining, I'm not complaining. It's just you think you're ready to face evil until you face it. And it's spiritual. It's like Agent Smith in The Matrix where it jumps into people. That's basically what it's like, which makes you even love God more and want to be good more. But then it's so evil and out of control, you don't even know what to do. So in the 8 minutes we have left, Joel Skousen, specifically, because I know the president still occasionally sees the show, what would you say to the president? What would you get into North Korea? You got cut off by the break, getting into their disinformation operations, what we should worry about. Just in the last 8 minutes we have left, your big, smart, because you're a smart guy, download for folks.
Well, what I would tell the president is, first of all, you have to understand that the deep state created ISIS, they created Al-Qaeda, and they run the rebels and they run arms that you aren't even being told about. They are creating two bases on sovereign territory in Syrian government, which you have never been told about. They said, this needs to stop. Syria isn't your enemy, either is Iran. If you would back off, you would find that Iran would start to be more reasonable. Now, but the point is, my biggest warning, of course, would be about North Korea. I would tell him, you're being set up for a psychological operation by them touting or offering you a Nobel Peace Prize, by them offering to have a final truce or a full peace treaty on North Korea, by offering you denuclearization. There is no way that Trump, in June 12th, at this meeting in Singapore, is going to get anything concrete to prove denuclearization. I mean, the dismantling of the test thing is a falsehood. The test center for nuclear weapons collapsed through earthquakes. I mean, this is just a throwaway to say that we're going to dismantle this. The earth has dismantled it.
I didn't think of that till you just said it. It was 6 months ago. The earthquake collapsed it. They're going to blow up the entrance of a collapsed base.
That's exactly right. So you see, this is a throwaway. And Trump is being fooled by these types of everyone is around him is telling him, look, you're winning. This is a success. You're going to be a hero. You're going to get a Nobel Peace Prize. They are setting him up psychologically to look the other way at the fact that he's not going to get anything concrete out of Nobel. What could you get? I have told him in the World Affairs Brief, if he ever reads that thing, which I don't think he does, I said, what you need to do at that meeting in June 12th, it says, you have 2 weeks to allow international inspectors to come in and take possession of your nuclear weapon experimental or nuclear experimental
factory. Well, let me stop you. You may have missed it. The South Korean news reports, and I made a phone call to CENTCOM. They said, no, that's true. Pompeo has demanded 5 nukes to be dismantled in Paris. So what you just said is what Trump's, according to my sources that have never been wrong, is happening.
But still, that's not enough. What I'm just saying, you need international inspectors to take possession and go actually and occupy the factories. It isn't a matter of taking a few nuclear weapons out and dismantling
them. Sure, what do you make of Pompeo saying, we're going to send in private interest to rebuild North Korea? Because the North's got to want to be the South, the most productive country in the world. I mean, I want to believe in this deal, Joel. You're saying it's a screw job.
Yeah, it is. There's never been a communist country that has ever disarmed, ever. And I include in that the phony fall of the Soviet Union. They never disarmed during that fall of the Soviet Union. But this is going to be a trap. I think China is so interested in delaying this attack on North Korea because they aren't ready to follow through with World War III. I think they're willing to even, if Trump pushes them to take possession of those nuclear weapons, that's the easy way out because they can bring them right back when they want.
Sure, they can roll them across the border. Well, you've always said towards 2022, 25, that was the plan. China now says their doctrine is to be ready to attack us in 2020.
Yeah, that's probably a little bit early. Remember, Russia's got to be ready, too. They both got to get a much bigger blue water navy to be able to occupy.
Sure. Is there, and then they're launching the new carriers. Is there any way to get them to stop this? This is insane. I mean,
well, you've got to remember, the problem is the globalists really want this third world war. They want a nuclear preemptive strike.
They want depopulation. They want to end it all.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to end it all.
In the current order.
Yeah, and the current order is that the U.S. defends the world. They want the U.S. military decapitated so they can get out of their bunker.
No, a new power emerges with all their deep state.
And a militarized global government is what we've got to have. And who's going to say nay when you've been nuked?
Then let me, you're one of the smartest guys on strategic relocation, and we sell your books at InfoWarsStore.com. Let me then, selfishly, I see all the globalists moving, Cook Islands, Kauai, New Zealand. I knew this 10 years ago from sources that are in Hollywood. Now it's confirmed. If I'm going to be a selfish person, and I'm going to tell the audience, I'm really doing this selfishly. I intend to try to stay here and fix things if we can, but Southern Hemisphere, I don't see that surviving a nuclear war. Joel, you're a global expert on relocation. Where in the world can I take my children and my wife if I don't want to die in a nuclear holocaust?
Well, you got to be in the United States for the long term. In the short term, any place in South America is going to be free from a nuclear holocaust, but it's not going to survive the cutoff of the economy. Those countries are all
socialist. Which is the equivalent of a zombie apocalypse.
That's right. Those countries are all socialist. They depend on influx.
You predicted on air 10 years ago that Venezuela would collapse. They would be eating people. It's now happening.
And don't go to New Zealand and Australia.
China, so come back on this week. Why are the elites fleeing there then? I mean, I was told this by multi-billionaires years ago. Come to New Zealand with us. They're all leaving there, Joel. What are they being told?
They're not in the know. They may be elite, but they're not in the
know. No, I agree with you. So tell me. You are in the... Tell me.
Well, I'm telling you that China's going to occupy Australia during this next war. They've owned all the mineral rights. They're not going
to... Well, they've said they are. So what I'm asking you is, why are the globalists moving to New Zealand? I mean... That's it,
because there are globalists that are wealthy elite that are being used and part of the system, but they're not in the know.
No, I agree. They're not on the inside group. So what about Kauai? Because Zuckerberg's there, Schmidt's there, that's where a lot of the real...
None of these people. They're yes men to the global New World Order, but they don't know the war agenda that's going to be forced.
No, I agree with you. So... Idaho? Where should I go?
The safest place in the United States for when this happens is what I call the Inner Mountain West. Everything from northern Arizona up to Montana, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, those areas.
And it's not just geography, it's the people.
It's the people. It's low population density. It's hundreds of miles from big population centers. I mean, that's
where. So tell me right now, if I want to relocate, just off the top, back of an envelope, where do I go?
Well, it's more complex than that because...
I know, but if I got to go, where do I go with my family right now? Boom.
I would say Idaho.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. Northern Idaho?
Well, no. Central? I like Central and Southern Idaho better than Northern. Northern is a lot of Californians there. It's very liberal up there.
Yeah, well, they'll all get wiped out in the first month, so we're not trying to shoot our mouths off.
The weather's better in the southern and central part of Idaho.
All right, Joel Skousen, powerful information, worldoffairsbrief.com. Thank you so much, my friend. We really appreciate you.
Good to be with you, Alex.
It's good to not be on the team of Satan. We'll be back. And it is Sunday night. For the next few segments, Roger Stone joins us to break down some exclusive information. Now, I don't think it's pearls before swine how much exclusive information we load out to the public here on this broadcast, but this is particularly inside intel. It's why they fear this broadcast. It's why the establishment attacks it continuously, because we are not controlled. Now, we know that there have been giant disinformation campaigns going on against the White House. And we know that there's been these big lawsuits and criminal charges filed by Mueller, this Clinton operative. And now people are actually showing up in court to challenge him. He's trying to drop the cases. So it's the same thing here. When we say we're going to expose who is the supposed mole inside the Trump campaign. It's like being a mole at your Sunday church service who saw the preacher give a sermon, or a mole that, you know, watched your wife cook eggs in the morning, or a mole who saw you, you know, put your kids' books in their book bag and drop them off at school. It's not like, oh, there's a mole of something illegal, but we know who is connected to the establishment and who was trying to get people early on in the Trump campaign to say things that were incriminating and who was bringing up Russia first. We know who Patient Zero is. And so exclusively here, we're going to tell you who the smart money's on as the supposed mole. And joining us from New York and his studios there is Roger Stone, former head of the Trump campaign, worked in five administrations, and of course is a best-selling author. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Alex, great to be here.
Well, start rolling with it. You're the expert on this. Let's announce who we believe is the so-called mole who reported nothing.
Well, first of all, let's stop and reflect for a moment on the stunning news that the FBI planted a spy inside the presidential campaign of the Republican candidate for president. This is a tip of the iceberg of the larger scandal regarding the use of the state capacity for surveillance and authority for surveillance, and through the use of phony FISA warrants. This next shoe to drop, the FBI plant inside the Trump campaign, is stunning news. Now, there's a guessing game going on in official Washington as to who the operative is. I've examined all of the evidence and discussed the matter with colleagues, and I believe that it is most likely that the deep mole is Steph Halper. Now, who is Steph Halper? First of all, he is the son-in-law of legendary Bush neocon operative Ray Clines. Steph Halper was the chief foreign policy advisor to presidential candidate George H.W. Bush when he ran against Ronald Reagan in 1980. His wife, his father-in-law, and he have all extremely deep ties to the deep state, to the CIA, to the National Security Council, and to that entire intelligence.
And I should add, he's the one we know with three different people out of the blue saying, let me fly you here to discuss Russia. Are you a Russian operative? You know anything about Russians?
Now, I actually have met Steph Halper because former NRA President David Keene had a floating crap game at his home, and I was sometimes a tender. Halper was a very good poker player. He is a duplicitous, very smart, and deeply, deeply committed to the globalist agenda. He has an effacing kind of schlub personality that I think really hides a steel trap mind and a capacity for exactly this type of activity.
So clearly this man is a psychotic.
Well, he's very, very bright. He's very ambitious. He was appointed to high positions in both the Bush and Reagan administrations. He was deeply committed to the one world agenda of the Bushes.
We have a photo of him here, unclothed, classified, we're releasing now. Extremely handsome, I should add.
Well, look, he's a very self-effacing, kind of likable guy.
I'm being sarcastic. We're showing the image of a naked mole right now as a joke. Sorry, Roger, I can't help it.
That's okay. But this stunning news, Alex, shows that their whole phony edifice is starting to crumble. Look, they call me a dirty trickster. The Russian collusion hoax, which is covering up the biggest assault on our civil liberties in American history, the largest scandal in American history. And that's the biggest dirty trick of all time. And, you know, they're now getting called on it. This is just another major piece of evidence. The FBI penetrating Donald Trump's campaign. That's outrageous. Isn't that what they sent Nixon down for allegedly wiretapping the opposition? In this case, it's even worse because they've used the authority and the capability of the state, where Nixon's bungled job was a private job.
By the way, it's funny you bring that up. Who was it I saw on Friday made this point that Trump wants to expose the Iran deal because it's a bad deal, but also because reportedly hundreds of millions got paid to Obama and others, and we know they were big into that. Well, now the Iranian government, it's on InfoWars.com, I forgot to tell the crew, pull it up. The Iranian Press TV, this is the official channel. I don't just believe it by seeing it on CNN. Of course, it wasn't on CNN. It was on InfoWars.com. I saw it in a Zero Hedge article. I went to Press TV. I should have started the whole show with this. And the mullah, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and Jack and Cola, you know, I mean, my God, keep your wheels spinning and your beavers grinning. This guy says we paid off the Obama administration hundreds of millions. And if you don't roll over, we'll release who we paid off. God, is Trump a genius or what? Please release it. Please release it. Now, that's the Wall Street Journal, FBI hit a mole in the Trump campaign. It's on InfoWars.com. It's top story. Right before we went live, I forgot to tell you guys, there's a bunch of articles on it, but it's all Press TV, and then it got picked up. Steve Watson wrote about it, but also the first people were the amazing Tyler Durden over at the Zero Hedge. Ladies and gentlemen, drum roll, please. We'll go to break in a minute and come back with this, because I forgot to even have that in my stack. I'm so punch drunk with all the news. The Iranian government on Press TV, that's their outlet, said, we will expose you with blackmail payments if you don't roll over. Is that not the most desperate, insane behavior we've ever seen? There it is. Iran threatens to expose U.S. diplomats who took bribes to create a nuclear deal. Red states got it too. Good Lord, Roger. This is spectacular. What do you make of this?
Maybe it was a rebate. My guess is it was a rebate.
Well, if I got millions of dollars from the Iranians to get let them have nukes, I hope I get hung up by my toenails and beaten to death. I mean, when that's why they're so trying to call us traitors. Everybody knows we're Americans. We're capitalists. We are the country. We're not the ones taking foreign money, Roger.
No. In fact, the reason that the deep state is fighting so ferociously is because they know they're the ones who face jail sentences. They're the ones who face disgrace. They're the ones who have violated the law. They are the ones who've engaged in treason. That's why they must accuse us of these very crimes and destroy us, because it's us or them. And they realize that. And their whole phony facade is crumbling before our very eyes.
And it doesn't matter if Halperin is devastatingly handsome, as you see on screen. That is not going to get him away with this. We'll be back, oh my God, with Roger Stone. This is ecstasy. Their whole criminal operation is imploding. Huge peace deals with North Korea. Back, ladies and gentlemen. Roger has got so much inside critical baseball info that in the final segment, because you know wild horses can't shut me up, I'm going to have him host the final segment coming up. But for this 9.5 minute segment, Roger Stone's here with us. So here's the Red State article, and then it links to Press TV. I mean, I don't just believe, you know, mainstream media here in the U.S. or even Red State, who are good folks. Iran's foreign minister threatens to expose Western diplomats who took bribes to create the Iran nuclear deal. Here's the thing. The whole establishment's pissed at Trump because he's kicking the lobbyists down, because he's making it about America. Now they all turn it into Michael Cohen, Novartis, AT&T giving him some money to advise them. That's totally legal. I'm surprised there's not more lobbying in the Trump operation. He's lost probably $1 billion being sued and attacked. I know we're under attack. You're under attack. I'm not just blindly defending the president. I don't care if he gets money or even gets funded under these attacks, as long as he's bringing jobs back pro-America. But separate from that, they want to make it about Cohen getting money from AT&T and a drug Novartis or whatever to, like, advise them. I mean, I've been paid to advise major companies before because they really want my advice. But how is that illegal? Where are the Russians? They're not there, except if you look at Hillary. But meanwhile, Iran is pissed now in Press TV. This is on InfoWars.com. If you're a radio listener, go look it up for yourself. Threatening to release U.S. government officials they bribed for the deal. That's the briar patch Trump wants to be in. What do you make of this, Roger Stone?
You know, I think you're calling it right on the head, Alex. The president
has told me repeatedly since the beginning of his term that he was determined to get us out of the Iran deal, which he thought was a bad deal, a ripoff, as he would put it. And he was always determined. His own State Department, many of his own foreign policy advisors argued against it. The foreign policy establishment argued against it. John Kerry went out and engaged in personal diplomacy in violation of federal law, the Logan Act, and should be prosecuted.
So let me ask you, you've got all the answers. Why would they do something so reckless with this mullah dictatorship? Why did they do something that doesn't make sense?
This is why he was so determined, because he knew he had this whole card. I think you've hit it exactly on the head. And I think he knew when this became public, it would undermine what little support the deal has left.
Exactly. So what are the mullahs thinking? Because I said weeks ago it's about exposing the bribery, which was starting to come out. Are the mullahs selling deep state, kill Trump, or will out you?
I think they are. I think they are.
Then at that point, I say vaporize their ass. I'm against these wars, but I'm tired of putting up with their Iranian, garbage.
I honestly believe the thing that bothers the president the most is the concept of pallets of cash, hundreds of millions of dollars in
$36 billion now in gold and cash.
Not accounted for in the basic agreement, like a secret side deal kept from the American people.
Which we now know was a kickback to them. So how big is this?
That torques Trump beyond all words that we're being ripped off like that.
Because let's explain. He's a big penny pincher.
He's the cheapest human being that ever lived, and that's the guy you want as the steward of our tax dollars.
Well, he's totally delivering, and I was interrupting you. Make your points about Iran, then I've got my points. Go ahead.
I think that that you're exactly right, that he always knew that he had this as a whole card, which is why he faced down the entire establishment and went ahead and cashiered this lousy deal. Needless to say, this whips the deep state types into another level of hysteria that they've got to get rid of him as quickly as possible. He's already taken us out of Paris. They were apoplectic about that, the Paris Climate Accords. Now it's the Iranian deal. He's on
the verge. He killed the TPP. I criticized him on Syria, but that was because I love him. But I don't want people to think I'm off the Trump train. It's the opposite. He's so good, it's crazy. What do you make of Brennan coming out and saying Trump's a chump with North Korea when they're about to blow up their tunnels? They've agreed to give up their nukes. You can tell wanting to have peace and actually deciding to do it. I mean, you can see the shift because the globalists never wanted peace. Trump's saying it's over. I mean, this is incredible.
No, basically, Brennan is publicly admitting that he couldn't get a deal done, that he and Bush could not get a deal done, that he and Obama could not get a deal done because the North Koreans viewed us as pussies. Now the North Koreans now believe that the United States has got a real leader who will smack them hard if they get out of line, and that peace is much more palatable than somebody who is not going to let you get away with what Obama let him get away with. In this case, the saber rattling has paid off. It brought them to the table.
Well, Roger, you're one of my big sources, but obviously, you know, I've got a lot of big sources. And I was told when I was on a skiing trip in early March that they already agreed tacitly to give everything up. This was all going to happen because there had been a strategic tension and that the globalists didn't want peace before. The U.S. was basically had more control of North Korea through the Clintons than the Chinese did. Now you hear word for word what I was told a month and a half ago. Pompeo on Fox News this morning said, Fox News Sunday said, we're going to give him power plants. We're going to give him industry. And they go, oh, but he's a dictator. He's like, it won't matter. It's like China. The people are going to get meat. They're going to get food. Our deal is that we're going to industrialize them. Korea is the most productive country in the world per capita. We're about to do that. It looks like Trump has successfully, because we know China's had a bunch of wars with Korea. They actually hate Korea. Trump has successfully peeled them off. If this ends up happening, this is the ultimate coup against communism. I am beside myself if this happens.
Well, Alex, the little rocket man wants Coca-Cola. He wants a piece of the pie. He could share the Nobel Peace Prize if he gets something done and if he moves in a peaceful
and exactly,
direction.
Exactly. And the globalists wanted to keep tension and fighting going forever to sell weapons. Trump goes, I'll sell weapons to Japan and South Korea and the North. We're not going to use the damn things. You're going to be making big screen TVs, North Korea. Exactly. You can tell, though, the globalists are panicking. Their strategy of crisis is coming to an end. But let's not start getting too confident. When you come back and you host, you're going to cover whatever you want in the last segment, Roger, because I respect you. I want to give you time here. You got a big night ahead of you, turn down that hot blonde tonight or hot brunette or whatever, your beautiful wife, your brunette. The point is that we're sitting here looking at this. What's the six? What's the jack? What's the threat? What do we got to look for? Let's not start getting too confident here, even though it looks like total victory is within grasp.
Well, in all honesty, I think that we face the greatest challenge we ever faced. The hysteria of the deep state is ratcheting up. This just moves Mr. Mueller into high gear trying to make something of the Michael Cohen affair, the details of which are still not clear, but somehow figure out a way to euchre that into testimony against Donald Trump. Increasing scouring of the earth for Russian collusion where none can be found, the tactics being used by Mr. Mueller, their refusal to turn over to the executive branch the information and documents pertaining to the illegal surveillance of the Trump campaign. The liberals want to talk about a constitutional crisis. There it is.
We were in D.C. together last year when the front page of the New York Times said Trump was surveilled. We already knew that. A week later, they said we never said that. Now they've been proven to be liars. And now it's all come out that Brennan and Comey and Mueller lied to Congress. These guys are sitting ducks, except you've got that attorney general who I think they caught. The word is a KKK outfit.
Well, something. He's either doddering or he's compromised. Look, there's a common thread here. The New York Times reported that Manafort and I and Carter Page were under FISA surveillance. They have never retracted that story. The government in the Manafort case refuses to turn over in discovery any evidence of government surveillance, insisting he was never surveilled. The Jeff Sessions is refusing to hand over to Congress.
Jeff Sessions is a compromised globalist operative. The fake QAnon is totally compromised. Roger Stone on the other side will host and give you a report on the current state of the battle. But hey, we're winning. The economy's coming back. So many good things are happening. But it doesn't mean that they won't kill the president or start a civil war. So we've got to be super laser beam focused. They're trying to block us and censor us at every front. Newswars.com, Infowars.com, Europewars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Those sites are pro-America, pro-free market, pro-Christian, are pro-everything that stands for this country. And we need you to share those links and support local affiliates. We'll be back with the final segment and Roger Stone. And it's our final segment tonight with Roger Stone, who is a great patriot who gets demonized a lot, but who's the real deal, the real McCoy. And the fact that I know even his background, well, he helped get a bunch of communists arrested in the 80s for Reagan and working for Nixon right through. The way he's been demonized, it's because he's pro-America. And their claim that I'm a Russian agent, InfoWars rebooted the country with you, the listeners. You rebooted the country. We're the people that support the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, the sovereignty. My only criticism of Trump is he's kicking the hell out of Russia with sanctions beyond anything Obama or anybody ever did and massing troops on their border. And just, I like the fact that he did energy policies that are good for America, but man, God, that hurt Russia bad. So be it. But it's just sick when the communist Chinese are on record running Hollywood. They now own it, running our media, Panama Canal, most of the universities, enslaving their own people, and then they point at us and say we're the traitors. That's ridiculous. We got 9.5 minutes left. Roger, I'll be here at the end. I'm here watching you live right now, but I want you to have the floor here so I don't interrupt to just give people a State of the Union address, the point we're at right now at a real historic crossroads where the people really count what they say and do. Roger Stone, the globalists are desperate. They're losing, but they're going to strike back. What do you see in your crystal ball? What do your sources tell you?
Alex, the stage is set for an epic clash, and it's time sensitive, and here is why. Robert Mueller is stepping up the pressure to remove this president in what I have described as a deep state coup. The president's lawyers, to review, his initial lawyers, lulled him into a false sense of complacency and confidence that the inquiry would literally just go away. They promised him a letter from the special counsel by Christmas. Then it was New Year's. Then it was the end of January. Now it's May and no letter is forthcoming. The list of questions published in the New York Times on page one that Mr. Mueller wants to ask the president strip bare any facade that this is about Russia. And quite clearly, the president has been jolted by the fact that they want to look into every aspect of his career and his executive actions, including the depositions of his children. The president signaled a change by bringing in Mayor Giuliani. Now, he has clearly suffered some slings and arrows for some of his comments regarding the sideshow of Stormy Daniels. But on the key question of Comey, Mueller, and the illegitimacy and outrageousness of this inquiry, this inquisition to remove the president, he has been most effective. More importantly, I believe that he is urging the president to do what he should have done some time ago and take dramatic action by terminating some of the bad actors in this drama. Now, the reason that he must move quickly is because the U.S. Senate is racing to legally protect Robert Mueller, the special counsel, from being terminated. The constitutionality of that has to be questionable. Mr. Mueller doesn't even answer to a three-judge panel as he would have to under the old special counsel law, which has expired. He merely has Mr. Rosenstein rubber stamping his rampage into any area he wishes to pursue. And he is, I think, grasping at straws, having come up with no Russian payday. He is forced to go back to the questions of Mr. Comey and Mr. Sessions, Comey's termination and the threats to terminate Sessions. Now, in view of the fact that both a Republican and Democratic Justice Department have both ruled that a sitting president cannot be indicted for a crime while in office, what can be the purpose of this inquiry other than to remove the president, to undo what they could not do at the ballot box? I think the president now realizes the danger that is afoot. I think the president understands the power that he has. But he must move on them before they move on him. He has the power to pardon everyone who's currently been indicted. He has the power to terminate Mr. Sessions and Mr. Rosenstein. He has the power to order the appointment of a special prosecutor on both the FISA warrants, where the Justice Department is stonewalling Chairman Nunes, hiding the ball in an unconstitutional game of keep away. He has the authority to deal a solid blow to those who move closer and closer to removing him on some bogus trumped up charge. In the meantime, I can tell you that the Senate announced last week, or it was, I should say it was leaked, that Sam Nunberg has been asked to provide all emails between he and I that pertain to, you bet, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, Russia, Guccifer 2.0. There's nothing in these emails that concerns me. Mr. Nunberg is the gift that keeps on giving.
And Roger, let me just jump in briefly here, because I'm sitting here watching you and you're absolutely on target. Today, before we went on air, I thought, get on the offense, Alex. You're always covering what they do. We're trying to bring back jobs, thousands of factories. Trump, $24 billion in black African-American targeted, you know, direct scholarships, and the left's going, oh, that's racist. It should be for everybody. That's more than 50 years of black scholarships. In 4 years, he's already signed the order. Here's the deal. I totally agree with that. Don't take somebody else's college slot because they're Asian or white or a woman. Give somebody a damn scholarship. I'm all about paying tax money for that. I like that idea of actually, like, here, you know, boom, you did good in school or whatever, you tried, you get this. I mean, he's doing so good And then I see all these attacks. It makes me sick. Do we forget that Donald Trump? I know I'm changing subjects here. Do we forget Donald Trump 40 years ago bought a bunch of golf courses at blacks and Jews and Hispanics? I can't believe that when I was like 4 years old, people couldn't play golf anywhere they wanted, that there were still golf courses, you know, like Bushwood from the imaginary Caddyshack, where blacks and Hispanics and gays and Jews couldn't play. And Trump is the guy that bought dozens and did that. And then that's why all the rappers loved him, because, and then they turn around like cowards, like Snoop Dogg, and crap all over him. That pisses me off, that I have the real white supremacist against me, because I've been for real inclusion as a libertarian for years. And there's this secret conservatism of racism that plays into the left. I'm done with the blue bloods. I'm done. I was never with them, but I'm done with the blue bloods. I'm done with everybody. But that doesn't mean that I look at black racists or Hispanic racists who tell me to kiss their butt because I'm white. No, you go to hell too. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Look, you can go on YouTube now and find footage of Jesse Jackson praising Donald Trump for his work in the community. Donald Trump is not a racist. This is the name calling.
Are we ever going to drop the secret weapon on him about Trump?
You might. I'm not going to.
Let's just say Donald Trump likes black people.
Yeah, he loves black people. Look,
but they'll turn it into something like Thomas Jefferson's bad.
Well, you know, the left is very interesting. When Bill Clinton engages in oral sex in the Oval Office with a intern, they say that's none of anybody's business. That's personal conduct. Yet they're wild about Stormy Daniels, which, if anything happened, it was consensual.
But if the president had a black supermodel girlfriend 30 years ago, that's racist.
Well, it'd be racist for us to say that, probably.
Well, I'm not saying it.
I've heard that, though. People are saying it.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, talking to Trump, you know a lot better than me, 40-something years. He talks about energy. So in closing, what is this thing with Trump and energy? Kanye talked about dragon energy. Trump said we get the energy. When I've talked to Trump, the few times I've talked to him, you know, 10 times or something, you've talked to him 1,000 times, he talks about energy. He really, he loves black churches. What's going on there?
You know, he is not a man who is who likes to be bored. He's constantly on the move. He likes to see things moving. He likes, you know, he likes upbeat people.
But it's not an ass-kissing event. He really likes black people.
I think he likes everybody. This is the difference, fundamental difference between he and Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump loves people.
Well, you heard him say, I want victory for the planet.
He can talk to anybody easily.
Well, I know personally, when he heard Obama 5 years ago say Africa can't have air conditioning, he stood up in his chair when he heard that.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
Well, but how racist is that to say black people can't have anything? Roger Stone, you've done an incredible job. Join me again tomorrow. So much is happening. We really appreciate you. And God bless you, my friend. 20 seconds, closing comment.
Well, Alex, I want to remind people they can go to the InfoWars store and get their new copy of Stone's Rules. This is my road manual for politics, business, style.
By the way, come on for a full hour, because I've not even done an ad to promote it. It's a message to send this to number one, plus to support us. God bless you, Roger. Great job to the crew. I'll see you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.